folks. It's been a while. This is the Knick Knack Podcast. I'm Knick Knack. And we are still two neurodivergent people trying to do the best they can in the Seattle area. And before ado is in any way furthered, let's get started.
They haven't paid Knick Knack since May. And we're basically living on my income, which is not sustainable for two people. And add to that, our rent went up by over double, and it's very hard. We're struggling financially, and we've tried to cut as much as possible, but what else can you cut when there's nothing else to cut and you still can't afford to pay rent and all of your bills at the same time?
And I have been taking these walks down to the waterfront to try and relieve the stress. And every time I took a walk, I would go by multiple convenience stores and I would be very, very tempted to go out and buy more smokes after having quit when I met Benny. And I promised Vinny that I wouldn't smoke, and I knew in my head that if I went back on this even a little bit, I would be putting my marriage in jeopardy. But I was so stressed one day that I went out and bought a pack of cigarettes, and I was humiliated, and I was embarrassed, and I felt guilty for not immediately telling Benny, but I told Benny the next day, and you sobbed, and it broke my heart.
Yeah, I felt really disappointed. I was not upset enough to say, get out, because, you know, I had put in my profile that smoking was one of my deal breakers, because I have asthma. I grew up in a household where everybody was a smoker, and it just wreaks havoc on your lungs, secondhand or no. It stinks, it stains everything yellow, and it ages you prematurely, and I just didn't want to deal with that in our lives. So I thought I was going to totally react differently than I did. I thought I was going to be upset and angry. I was. And I thought, you know, when I put up that deal breaker on my profile, I thought, okay, so anybody who smokes gets the boot. You know, it's automatically over, you know, no ifs, ands, or buts, because they're putting my health at risk. And that's not okay with me. But at the same time, I just really love Knick Knack, and I would be lost without them. They would be lost without me. And I just, you know, all I felt was just like, not even a little bit. I mean, yes, I was angry because they could have chose to spend that money wisely. But, you know, it had already happened. Neither of us could go back and change it. So I just had to deal with it. And because of my love for Knick Knack, and because I don't want to end this relationship, I just thought about it and thought about it. I mean, I had jokingly teased before, like, you know, if you start smoking again, I'm gonna start smoking because I don't want to lose you. And I don't want to be stuck on this planet by myself.
Right.
So let's just both, you know, if you start smoking again, then we'll eventually end up in the cancer ward, in the same bed, you know, on oxygen. You know, it's like a morbid romantic fantasy or something. And so I did sob, but I released that disappointment. And then I went on Amazon and I bought a couple packs of cigarettes from China for myself. They don't have any tobacco or nicotine. And they're like honey rose tea cigarettes. And so Nick Nack and I go out every other day and we smoke them.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, this is a, I mean, I love you, sweetie, and
I love you too.
Thank you for being as compassionate as you are and as forgiving as you are. I routinely feel like I don't deserve it, but I think this is something that we want to and need to work on. And I think that it's something that we will be revisiting and talking about in the future, but it was a really rough test of our marriage, and I think we may not, you know, in both deciding to smoke, we're probably not making the best decisions for our health, but we're probably making our best decisions for our available coping skills right now. Because while you have mental health support, I do not.
Yes.
I do not have medical insurance. I do not have anything of any kind because of fucking Social Security.
Right.
And this is just, this is all, I feel like my problem is that I tried to change too much too quickly.
Uh-huh.
You know, before I met you, I was, you know, going out for a cigarette every hour or so, when I was awake, and, you know, rolling my own, and in between that, I was, you know, doing podcasts and listening to lab music all the time and doing flight sim. And it was just this constant escapism world that, since moving to Seattle, much as I love it, I can't do that in this environment. Not only because we're sharing the living space and I would keep you up all night if I acted the way I did before, but also because, like, the, you know, you have to be quiet after 10 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. All those rules and such. And, you know, and we're trying to be conservative with our powers so we can't leave the computer on. And there's all these rules, all these changes, all these adjustments. Mm-hmm. And, you know, being on the spectrum as I am, being as on the spectrum as we both are, you know, changing routines and changing habits is such a hard thing to do. In fact, it's nigh near impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the move was so stressful. Getting married was so stressful.
It was good stress.
It was good stress, but it was still a hell of a lot of stress.
Mm-hmm.
And gender transition is stressful and mm-hmm. all this other stuff. And it's just like, I was putting myself under too much pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And
add to that the external stressors of housing requiring so much paperwork and stuff like that, and then, like, they're installing and they're not telling us what they're doing.
Right.
But they're still acting like it's my fault because I sent in the paperwork and stuff like several times, but for some reason my caseworker kept saying that she never got it. Well, Nick Nack had to email someone else at housing before they would actually check what was going on. And so finally that issue got resolved. But then
the rent goes up.
Yes, the next, yeah, but, and also the Social Security stuff happened. I kept telling them, you know, Knickknack doesn't have an income. Check their bank account, you know.
Yeah, and, literally negative.
Yeah, and it's like they don't care, you know, yeah. And I don't know what to do. I feel like we're being priced out of our home, as small as it is, and it's not that much extra resource for Knickknack to live here. I live in a studio apartment, which means the only two rooms with doors are the closet and the bathroom.
Yeah.
Everything else is open. And, you know, ideally we should have a one-bedroom apartment.
Yeah.
You know, and we can't even afford that. Rent is so much in this city, and it just keeps going up and up and up. And I don't know where else we can live because rent's going up everywhere.
Yeah, there's so many of these problems. So many of these problems everyone is facing: the increasing price of food, the increasing price of rent, and it's just greedy fucking landlords, greedy fucking corporate owners, fucking everybody at, you know, every turn, and it's ridiculous, and it's got to stop. And this whole COVID is over thing.
Yeah,
let me rant about that, sweetie.
All right.
So we recently went to a family event, and my family is relatively good in that they got vaccinated and they were on top of that. Except that they're naive enough, even though they work in healthcare, to think that getting the vaccine alone and the boosters alone is going to protect you. And no, it's not, because biology 101, folks, viruses fucking mutate. They fucking mutate fast. That's why we don't have a cure for the common cold, for God's sakes. And so we went to this family event, and there was peer pressure to not mask. And we didn't mask, and guess what? We fucking got COVID.
Right.
And we're, you know, like I said, you know, I've been a smoker for 11 years. I restarted. We're restarting, you know, we're heavily controlling the restart. Like, this is the longest a pack of cigarettes has ever lasted me. I got it in late June. I still have it. It's late July. But nonetheless.
And I have asthma and severe sleep apnea.
Yeah, which we found out about last month, which, I mean, I wasn't surprised based on your snoring, but to finally get the diagnosis, so it's like, oh God, there's another thing. But so we're at high risk, and I'm at high risk due to my own stupidity. You're at high risk because you have
my mother's stupidity.
Your mother's stupidity, and you have asthma. And yeah, And because people think that it's safe, and, oh, COVID is over, back to normal bullshit, and because of all that crap, because somebody wanted to throw a fucking party, basically.
Yep.
We're sick, and it's agonizing, it's miserable, it's embarrassing. I feel like, how could I be so stupid as to not wear a fucking mask? How can I
Same.
Be that fucking stupid?
And also, we felt pressure to go to this event because my mother-in-law said, oh, I'll pay for your way there and back, because we basically have no money, we can't travel. And they were also willing to pay for the food, some of the food that we got. Basically, most of our meals were paid for, which is good. And I do really appreciate that, but still, don't pressure people. I mean, I lost a friend to COVID, and she still said, oh, don't worry about it. You know, we're all vaccinated and stuff like that, yada, yada, yada. And then we get home, and I tell her that Knickknack is sick. Knickknack got it first. And she's like, oh, some people tested positive from the wedding, but don't worry, they're all mild cases. Well, mild to us is not mild, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not mild for us.
Yeah.
Because of our comorbidities. And, you know, to somebody else, they can kick it in, like, I don't know, a week or something. It's going to take us, like, almost a month now. And, God, I just hate that we did this. And I hate that she held the money and stuff over our heads. And that we were basically there to take pictures. And that was it. Nobody really, I mean, people talked to us and stuff. But we were mostly on our own.
And add to that our, you know, you were very good in asserting, look, we're both autistic, we have needs, here are our needs, and our needs were not considered or addressed. They were ignored. Blatantly.
Yeah, and some were just, like, barely, the bare minimum.
Bare minimum done, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's... So
to make sure that we didn't melt down, and I ended up melting down anyway. Knick-knack very nearly melted down after I melted down.
That double meltdown factor, oh God, don't underestimate it if you're in a ADHD or an naughty couple. Like, don't underestimate the danger of the double meltdown. Because, oh my God, it's so scary, mm-hmm. You know, being away from home. And, you know, I felt so... I mean, we have a couple friends left in Chico, and, you know, it was nice to see them, but...
they're busy with their own lives.
But they're busy with their own lives, and, you know, within the family setting, we felt so alone and so isolated and so misunderstood, and I've been having a lot of regression lately. And Quinn on the Autistic Matic channel just did a very good video on... regression and what that's like, and when you're in so much stress that you things that you can normally handle, you when you encounter this much stress, you just can't handle it anymore, and you lose skills,
mm-hmm.
You lose your ability. Like, I barely had the ability to speak or articulate myself throughout those family events, and you know, and I'm still thinking, okay, there's no money in my bank account. I'm relying on Benny to survive. I put Benny under all the stress with the smoking thing. I'm just feeling incredibly crappy about myself because I thought I could do better than this. But, I mean, it's just... we all have our limits. And I think when you're on the spectrum, your limits are much harsher than a neurotypical's limits might be. And the consequences for exceeding your limits are much harsher than a neurotypical's would be. And it's just hitting me so hard. And I'm trying so hard to, you know, do right by you, sweetie.
And I know, and... I just want to reiterate, you know, try not to be so hard on yourself, because a lot of the stress that has come down and hit us is out of our control. It's not stuff that we did, and that's why I didn't get so upset with the smoking thing, because I totally understood, okay, we've been under a lot of stress, that was your coping mechanism, and for the most part, and you know, it, I see how it makes you feel, that like when we're out there, you know, it just, like, for some reason, I don't know what it is, but like it just immediately calms you and like you get happier and stuff. And so I'm just like, okay, well, I would rather see you happy and calm rather than, you know, super stressed like you've been.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how to help you. I mean, I've suggested my own coping mechanisms, and they don't work for you because, you know...
we're each different. Each autistic person is different.
Like, I can escape into my games, and I do that very well. I also have some blankets with a very nice silky texture... that I love to rub against my face, and I also bite them, and that just makes me really happy. Embarrassingly, I will admit here, since we're talking about comfort objects, I also have a pacifier that I suck on, and you know, it makes me feel comfortable. And
I have a lot of these things too, but they just don't. They don't stick. I mean, like, I got a pacifier too. Actually, ironically, yeah. that's how we connected. We both used pacifiers as a stimming tool,
and a comfort object.
And one of the reasons I got the pacifier was to try and reduce my smoking. But there's just. I need so many pressure relief valves. I need so many stems, so many things to keep me going. And, you know, like, just this dramatic shift in routine, this dramatic shift in going from being single to being married, it's thrown me, and the external stress has thrown me for such a loop that I don't know which end is up. And, you know, I will confess that I from the time I was little, I knew that I would enjoy smoking. I was watching, like, the Cruella de Vil and the character in 101 Dalmatians, the old version. And I'd be like, oh, that looks like so much fun. and it... God help me, it fucking is. Like, it's just, it's fun.
Yeah. And, like, okay, so I grew up in the 80s and 90s, and back then, before anybody would admit that smoking was bad, there was all these images in media, like movies, everybody was smoking, everybody was drinking, everybody was partying, and it looked so much fun. In the 90s, everybody was going to nightclubs, and they were smoking and drinking and doing other drugs and, you know, looking like they were having the time of their lives. And that had an impact on our small brains.
Yeah.
You know, because as children, you know, we don't know yet what we're seeing, but we do absorb a lot of what we see, even if we don't understand it yet. And it makes an impact on our lives.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, I will admit, I enjoy smoking, and I enjoy smoking with you, which is even worse, because it's just, like, I mean, in one way, it's, like, there's this romantic fantasy of, I'll follow you into the dark.
Right.
I don't know, it's, shit be complicated, shit be really hard right now.
Yeah.
And, we're doing the best we can.
Yeah.
We really, really are.
That's all anybody can do, really. I mean...
And I mean, it's great to be podcasting again, because, honestly, I know there's a risk in being this open and honest with the internet, and even in being this open and honest in a partnership. But I'd rather be open and honest than do that neurotypical lying to save feelings thing.
Yeah.
I just... And we've got to get better at saying no.
Yeah, we do, and setting boundaries.
Yeah.
Even if they go nuclear and they get upset, well, you know, they basically had no concern or regard for our concerns and our health, and so now we have to take things in our... Because I don't think I can handle being this sick again.
Yeah.
Like, I've already had this shit twice, this being the second time.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can't handle it, man. Trying to take care of you, as much as I love you and everything, trying to take care of you and myself when we're both sick...
It's too much.
Yeah.
It's too much. Yeah, and I feel... I have so many of the many things that frustrates me about me. I have so many holes in my brain around domestic abilities, you know, taking care of the house, cooking, things like this. And things like this are things that you are really good at, but it puts so much stress and strain on you. Mm-hmm. And that's the other thing I'm concerned about. I mean, I'm under stress, I'm under strain, you're under stress, you're under strain. And we're just trying to keep this marriage together. And I gotta say, go for love. Always go for love if you find love, because any person in this world that makes life suck less is worth it. Vinny is 100%, 1,000,000% worth it for me.
Aw, and you're 100%, 1,000,000% worth it for me.
Thank you, sweet. But do be careful about getting married in the U.S., especially if you're on the dole.
Also in Canada, I just learned that only one person can receive disability benefits if two people get them and they get married. So
yeah,
kind of sucks. I thought Canada was pretty open, pretty, you know, really nice with their health care and stuff like that. Turns out not so much.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Canada's like the U.S., but slightly better, and then also slightly worse sometimes. It's really weird.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing to note, apparently you can't combine Section 8 vouchers, because when we did do the Section 8 thing and finally got me added to Vinny's voucher, I had to give up my voucher, which is scary as hell, because we're already struggling for this relationship and trying to keep it alive and trying to keep it going and trying to keep it healthy. And I have now hanging over my head, okay, if I fuck this up, I'm going to be homeless. That's just fucking great. You know?
No, I think, though, like, I would be a totally shitty person if I kicked Nick Neck out on the street. Like, you know, that's, I don't want to be like people were to me in the past. Like, for any little thing that went wrong, you know, then it was like, okay, you're out. Because, like, that is so awful. And, like, it's awful to have somebody in complete control of the finances because you have no income. I've been in that situation, too. And now, you know, I hold all the power, but I'm trying to be as fair as possible, because I know how it is being under somebody else's thumb, and basically, and like, I'm trying not to make Nick Nack feel like I felt in those situations. I'm trying to give them as much equal power as I have, even though they don't have any money and they don't have their own voucher. And they moved into my apartment. I mean, it's a good thing you like purple, because I said I wasn't changing my decor. But I do plan to put some more of your stuff around.
Yeah.
As soon as we get any money to, like, afford the little shelves and wall hangings and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Oh, God, uh-huh. It is so hard, folks. I cannot express how hard this is, and at least we still get to eat because we have food benefits. So yay.
Yeah. Yeah, no, eating is good. I like eating.
Yeah, I do too, as you know.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess suffice to say, we're under a lot of stress. Any donations you could send our way would be greatly helpful. Please check out the links in the show notes on the show page. I had to get rid of my website, so Knickknack Pod is no longer a thing. It's just the website on Anchor, so go to the Anchor website. That should have a link to the Patreon or iTunes or whatever, however you're listening to this. If you could please support us, that would be greatly, 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 greatly appreciated. I also want to say that, God damn it, healthcare is a human right, and all body care is healthcare. All body care, trans body care, cis body care, all body care is healthcare, and we deserve we deserve to have our needs met. Our health needs, our food needs, our shelter needs. I believe it is incumbent upon the government you are born into to take care of you. And I feel like the U.S. government is fucking failing, and I'm so fucking tired of just being pissed going down the drain.
Yes.
That's what we feel like. We're swimming against the current of the drain, and it's just like, no, it's eventually going to get us, and we keep fighting, and we keep fighting, and we keep fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll keep fighting until we can't fight any longer. For now, though, we're going to keep fighting, and we hope you out there listening, you know, if you have a new marriage or even an old marriage or a relationship and you're struggling, I think we both hope that the way we communicate serves as an example of one way to keep it going, because there's this Scrubs episode where they kind of break down why relationships fall apart, and it really boils down to everybody in a relationship goes through really tough crap. It's really, really tough to be in a relationship. It's really, really challenging.
Mm-hmm.
But the relationships that work, the relationships that last, involve one of those two people always standing up and fighting for the relationship. Fighting to keep it going. And although I know I hurt Benny badly and disappointed them badly when I started smoking again, they stood up and they fought for that relationship. They said, this is not worth quitting, and I respect them for that. And there have been times where I've been challenged and I've had to say no, I'm sticking with it. Because you, sweetie, are the love of my life, and I am not going to give you up.
Yeah, you're the love of my life, and I'm not going to give you up either. And also, I would also suggest revisit when you first met. Revisit your first date. Revisit all the stuff, like, remember why you love the person that you love. Do this together and laugh about those moments. Reminisce about the good times, and if you can, laugh about the bad times. And just remember, when you look into your partner's eyes, why you fell in love with them, how you fell in love with them, and give yourself, you know, a reason to remember that you love this person and that you want to make this work.
Yeah, hang on to good shit. Milk it for all it's worth. Every moment, every kiss, every hug,
touch,
everything. Just hang on to it. Because if there's one thing I've learned in this life, it's that nothing is permanent.
Yeah.
Everything is fleeting. So hang on to it every moment for all it's worth. Thank you so much for listening. Till next time, please donate if you can. Stay safe. Stay sane. Happy railroading. Happy women. Bye.
Are the schools shitting out fools who believe what they read and believe what they see? Don't believe them and don't believe me. I'm a tool. Changes of mood. I'm a drug in your food. Believe what you read and believe what you see on the TV. Don't believe them. above my head, there's a thought crime running through my head. Can't take these rules.